Baltimore, Marilyn Dennis, and Jamar. Wake up! I love this show.
Chum 104.5.
If I told you I could give you 10 more years of life, 10 extra years, you'd have to do one thing for me. Would you take the 10 years?
What's the thing I have to
like
do
that,
for
right?
you? That's What's the thing I have to do for
Marilyn,
you?
Marilyn, why does it matter? 10 more years of life.
What? Well, listen, look at me. Can you measure
Marilyn.
Me 10 years from now?
Oh, stop it.
Like, if you're, no, I'm just serious. Like, there's only so much you want to do. Then you want to go, you know.
But this is what we're all doing, Marilyn. We're running on treadmills. We're trying to do diets, keto, taking pills.
I'm doing everything. I'm doing everything.
Right. I tell you, there's one thing you can do, and it will give you 10 more years.
Okay.
Say you'll do
it. I'm going to say, okay, yes, because I got a granddaughter coming. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Give up drinking.
Oh, I can do that in a nanosecond.
No more alcohol for the rest of your life.
That's fine.
I'll give you 10 extra years. You do it?
Oh, yeah. I didn't drink at all in university. I don't think I started drinking until I was like 28 years old.
Wow.
And that would be like a glass of wine. And remember the wine in the box when
years
it first
old?
Started? I thought that was kind of cool.
How'd you manage?
So if you said stop drinking for the, you know, yeah, sure, I could do that easily.
Really, Caitlin? Could you?
Oh.
Can I answer for her?
Caitlin, let me put in Katana into context. No drinks for the rest of your life, but we'll extend your life to whatever the end is, plus 10 years.
Dang it. I would have to do it.
Every party, every celebration, you're watching them drink. Rather than
it's a real toss up for me, because I will say, if you asked me this 5 years ago, I think I would have been like, no way. I want my wine. My hangovers have gotten a little bit worse. And once you start having these older in life hangovers, it's not as worth it.
Don't say older in life, say experience.
Experience. Or what? Damaged. More
Thanks
damaged.
For the distinguished.
Hey, if you took coffee away from me, I would not give you 10 years.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
No. Agreed.
I need
That's
agreed.
Crazy.
This is the. No, I have to have coffee and water.
It's that important?
That is so important to me. It is comfort. It is, as you said earlier this morning, you know, kind of recalibrating. And
it really is. It's a different show once I get a couple drinks in me.
Well, Jamar, you always say that when you're on vacation, you don't, or, you know, on the weekends, you don't have coffee.
I only drink coffee for this program. That's it. Like, on Friday, after... Like, no coffee on the weekends, no, when I go away, when I'm not working, no coffee. I just don't want it. I mean, I like the taste of it, but I don't need it.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about my rum. Man, that'd be tough.
Yeah? So you can do this.
I just really like the taste of, I like the taste of gin. I like the taste of rum. It's my favorite alcohol. And I also like wine. Mm-hmm. I mean, 10 extra years of life, you'd have to tell me at what point am I at the end and am I adding 10 years.
Yeah.
If I'm like 3 days away, get the alcohol out of my face. I got another 40 years. Yeah, you can keep
when
10.
Do we start counting the 10 years?
That's my point.
I'm with you.
What about you, Tom?
Yeah, what about Tom, producer Tom?
I don't know.
10 extra years of life if you stop drinking forever.
I think I could do it, but it would be tough. It would be tough. Boy, that says something, doesn't it?
It does say something. Let me tell you what...
It's not good.
Almost 60% of people in North America said that they could not do this. 60%! Like, forget every other, like, substance that we're, like, babbling about. Alcohol is the one that we love.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. 60% of people said that they could not give up alcohol for the rest of their life, even if it ensured 10 more years of life.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're still toying with it.
I'm still mulling it over.
See, listen, guys, here's the thing. What they have perfected so beautifully, because I love going to going to a game, like a Leafs game and a Raptors game and, you know, NFL, of course. They have, alcohol-free beer.
Yeah.
I'm still getting the taste.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the hangover. I'm okay with that.
I just think that alcohol is so wrapped into lifestyle.
It is.
Everything you do in life. I mean, hell, you go to, excuse me for saying hell, but even you go to church and you're getting a sip of wine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Nothing like a little Mogan David with a cracker.
Tell me about it. Or a pita if you go to certain places. But I digress. Hey, it's in everything. It's in everywhere. Alcohol is like the spice of life for some reason.
Yeah, I guess. Think about that one. Could you, if you wanted to extend your life by 10 years, would you stop drinking? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of people haven't been very successful.
If you won't, you're not the only one.
I learned a lot about Tom on this.
Yeah.
But there's other things. Like, would I give up spaghetti? Would I give up chicken wings? Like, when we talked about this yesterday, I was thinking about the things that I love, and it's
things
hard.
What is there anything else you would give up for 10 years?
I think I could give up most things, but I gotta tell you.
Man, that says a lot about us human beings.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. If you really love something, like Caitlin and I love our coffee.
Yeah.
In no way. If you had said that to me, nah.
Pizza? Never give
pizza. Never give pizza.
Take me tomorrow. Take me tomorrow. I need the pizza. So I took the baby to the doctor the other day.
Ujabuja.
Oh, it was an adventure. It was cool. And I felt so guilty because I'm in the car with him and he's just so happy and he's laughing and he's cooing and I'm just like, you have no idea what I'm doing.
I know.
You have no clue. And I'm just trying to be nice to him. I'm like, listen, these last couple months are going to be great. But there's going to be that moment where it all goes to hell. Like, ah! So we get into the office, and I get him down into his diapers. Yeah. And he's still looking at me like, what's going on?
Daddy, I'm so happy to be with you. What were you doing next?
Right. And I'm just like, and he's looking at me like, you know. He babies get routines. That's what I'm learning. They get patterns and routines. And he's realizing that he's being out of the diaper longer than he's ever been in a while.
Right.
So he's like, what's going on? No clothes on me yet. Then this strange person walks in and they're kind of looking.
In a white coat.
Yes.
With a stethoscope around
them. Yep. And the little Cole stethoscope.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the doctor's checking him out, he's looking at me. He's like, who is this person? What's going on? I'm like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm trying to keep it together. Then the doctor leaves, and it's back me and little Kofi again, and I'm holding him, and I know what's about to happen. Yeah. The shots are coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm holding him like, okay, isn't this fun? Isn't this great? Nurse comes in, and I'm holding him, and the minute the nurse walks in, this is his second round of shots, she comes out, and she takes the gloves, and she puts the gloves on her hand. And the kid bursts into tears.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa.
You know already what's
you
about
already
to happen.
You know what's going on.
Wow.
4 months old. So I want to ask you a question. What is your earliest childhood memory? Like, I always wonder, can we remember things as children? And there is some science to it. They say that you don't really have memories till like maybe 2 years old.
Mm.
But it was amazing to me that he just started bawling when he put the gloves on because he just was already conditioned. No, not the gloves. I know what's coming next. Anybody in the room know their earliest childhood memory? What's your earliest memory?
I was in my crib taking a little nap. Okay. I remember the room being pink. My mother had above the crib these two kind of sconces.
Yeah.
Ceramic, but they were sconces, and I am laying there, and all of a sudden, one of them fell off the wall and hit me on the head.
You were...
Tom. I got Tom all prepared for this a half hour ago. What does he do? Screws the whole thing up. Okay, and then what happens?
Do it again.
And so one of the sconces falls on my head. To that point, I wake up crying. I see my mother... From my vantage point, laying in the crib, seeing my mother come in and pick me up. Now, how old was I? I was more than Kofi was. I got to be almost close to one. But screaming, I saw visions of Popeye in my head. I saw visions, honestly, and she took them down. And she said, and I remember her ranting and crying and going, "This," because she's putting decorations up,
sure.
Right? Yeah.
It's funny that those things, do you remember it clearly or is it just like a flash moment?
I remember so much that it hurt, like something hit me on the head. I woke up, I looked up, and I all of a sudden saw my mother's face over the crib looking at me.
Wow.
So funny.
That's
earliest
what I remember.
Memory, Caitlin, the first memory as a kid?
It's a combo of, I know I remember Christmases from a really early age, like Christmas mornings. And I also think I remember bath time. I think I remember really early bath time.
Nice.
Also popsicles.
Popsicles?
But what do you remember about bath time? Like if you were, trying to remember the first thing that you can remember. You remember the water? Do you remember them playing with you? Do you remember the rubber ducky?
I remember the feeling of just splashing around, your hand splashing around.
Yeah.
I remember splashing around and I also remember like a face cloth. I think it's like a wet washcloth kind of thing where it's all the sensory things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sensory things.
Yeah.
You're right. I remember two memories. I remember... Oddly enough, a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
I remember maybe like a pink doctor's office and the feeling of the paper that they put on the little
thing. The crinkly
paper? I remember that paper.
Yeah, yeah.
I also remember this is a memory in Jamaica. I remember like the big plant, like a leaf hitting me in the head or something, like, yeah, or just like feeling the big plant, yeah, walking through somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't remember much more than that, but I just remember the feeling of like, oh, this plant's so big, and it just, yeah, hit me in the face or something like that.
Or a ceramic wall sconce hitting you on the forehead.
Yeah.
Exactly. And sounds... I'm telling you, I had a lump on my head for at least 2 weeks. It's sensory. It's sensory for sure.
Yeah. Your earliest memory, Tom?
In the crib, Marilyn, now that you mentioned the crib. In the crib, and I'm not lying about this, okay, I used to bang my head against the side of the crib. So I'd be like on all fours, yes, and I'd bang my head on the side of the crib.
Uh-huh. Would you you'd rock back and forth?
I'd rock back and,
yeah,
forth,
Adam
and
used to do
and
that.
I'd do that.
Yeah,
and the,
yeah,
my family say, like, why did you used to do that? And I,
you don't know why.
No, and I used to like sing, kind almost like chant a song. While
that's
I
what
did.
Adam used to do.
Yeah.
And I asked my doctor, I said, you know, why is he doing that? He's rocking back and forth on his fours, kind of touching his head on the, he said he's working through the day. In his own language and his own thoughts, he's working through the day.
So
you know that
funny.
It's actually common for Aries to because we are the ram, to want to hit the butt heads.
What?
I've read that,
that
and I go,
amazing.
That is actually,
that's an
it is a thing
trait.
With me. It is like, I
but
would
like
to do
that. But
that
would be a constant thing then. Yeah. That would be a constant wall sconce hitting you on the head.
Yeah.
All right, Tom.
And Adam's an Aries as well.
He
so,
is.
So we know two butt heads for sure. Real live butt heads.
It's the repetitive ding,
yeah,
ding,
okay,
ding.
Pal.
Okay,
pal.
I'm just,
well,
don't shoot the
I
messenger.
I just find this fascinating because you know what? I got to tell you. If you give yourself some time and don't come up with, not what somebody told you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how, think, go back. And it's going to take you a while because I knew we were going to ask this question. I thought, ah, and my sisters and I have talked about that too.
The first memory?
All their memories too. And they can't weigh in and say, no, that didn't happen to you because they weren't there. Right.
Right.
It's your memory.
Yeah.
Right. It's what you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about dating. It's safe to say that we all have deal breakers, Marilyn, when we date, right? There are certain things that we just can't roll with. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
For me, it'd probably be a cigarette smoker. Couldn't do it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Boy, this list is going to get long for me.
Right.
The taste
of cigarette smoke in my mouth as we kiss is going to, I mean, even if we're just sitting in the same car together, it's not going to work for me.
Just the overall thing.
And I shouldn't be shamed for that, right?
No.
That's just my preference.
That's your preference.
So the email writer, I'm not going to give her name. She gave me her name. I'm going to save her the trouble because of these texts we're getting. She asked if she was shallow because the guy she's dating, great guy. Uh-huh. When they go out, they hang out there. He seems very presentable, nice guy, good job. But she's noticing when they email back and forth, he can't spell. Bad speller. One of the biggest problems he has, which I think a lot of people have, is there.
There.
There's a couple different versions of
T-H-E-I.
T-H-E-I-R, right? You have T-H-E-R-E and T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E.
Right.
And it's a problem for a lot of people,
yes,
because of
so she's getting texts back and forth and messages from him, and she's going, gosh, he's great and everything, but the spelling.
Yeah, she says spelling's terrible.
Yeah, I kind of like what you said. Like, it's just the one word.
I think it's other. No, she said general grammar, just on paper, not good.
Okay, well.
She said, but he's good in person, but she says she's starting to feel like she's doubting his intelligence and like his
education, intelligence,
exactly
how he's going to navigate through like a I'm going to make this up like a dinner party, all that comes together
and that affects how you feel about the person.
That's right, because once you start making excuses of that sort of thing and it really does bother you, and if it really does bother you, then you're going to make excuses to keep the relationship together. That's one way of thinking of it.
Should spelling be a deal breaker, Joanne? What do you think?
It's too late for it to be a deal breaker for me. We've been married for 9 years.
Okay. Is your husband a bad speller?
Yes.
How bad? Like really, really bad?
Well, yeah. Yeah, very bad. And
are you whispering?
English
because...
wasn't his very first language, but he has spoken English for, 45 years.
Yeah.
And honestly, it does bother me. My mother was an English teacher. My parents were both very, very academic, and maybe it's just I was raised that way, and I'm not a snobby person in general, but
no.
When I see him writing your, like, Y-O-U-R, I feel embarrassed, and I have to make sure I correct his emails if he's emailing his boss.
Yeah.
And actually, this happened last night. We were emailing our son's teacher because we needed a class list, and I said, let me see that before you hit send, because I don't want our son's teacher to see all the grammatical and spelling mistakes.
Oh. Is English his second language?
Well, no, not really. I mean, he was actually born here and then just spent the first 10 years of his life in Italy, but...
Well, still, but I mean, no, that's the imprint. Fluent. Yeah.
Are you whispering because he's T-H-E-R-E? There?
Sorry, say that again?
Is he over there? Is he in the room?
Oh, no, I hid in my room so I wouldn't, you know, so he wouldn't hear this conversation.
Point taken.
Does he dislike it when you correct him?
Sometimes he gets, he knows that he gets things wrong. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he gets a little annoyed because I really want it correct all the time. Because for me, it is important. It's not just about getting the right your or the right it's
we
or the
get
right
it.
There.
Yeah. We get it. We get it. Thank you so much for talking to us.
No problem.
Okay. This is a thing with a lot of people. The texts we're getting prove it. Someone says, this would be a deal breaker for me. Couldn't do it. Another text says, I cringe at my husband's texts and ask him if I can proofread anything before he sends it to his boss. Good morning. I'm George from Greece. I listen to you guys every morning. Mm-hmm. I speak Latin and ancient Greek. My English is not perfect, but does that indicate my intelligence?
No. See, that's the point. When you're, you know, that's what I'm trying to say, that with English, it's very a tough language with the there and the there and the there. So when it comes to spelling, that's a little bit confusing. And we've talked about that for the last 30-something years on this show. So it's a hard language to get it right.
It is tough. It's a little tricky. But is she being shallow for looking at him differently because of the way he spells?
I don't know.
Lots of sports news trending here in Toronto, and I wish I had happier trending news about the Leafs, but we'll just get this one over with. They are trending after losing last night in Game 7 against Boston. It was sort of this depressing flashback that we've had. Yeah. Game 7 against Boston again. Yes, not the best thing in the world. Justin Bieber was there, though. He was in attendance at the game last night in Boston with his wife, Haley, and so then a lot of people started joking that could there be a Bieber curse? No, it's just a Boston curse.
All right.
I think it's just this team.
But wait, Boston and Bieber begin with a B.
Alliteration.
Is it a B curse? I don't know.
Oh, no. Well, one thing that there isn't, we can now say safely, is there is no such thing as the Drake curse. Because over to the good trending Toronto sports news, the Raptors are trending after beating the Orlando Magic last night, 115-96. So they will advance to the next round of the NBA playoffs. And Drake was in attendance. So he isn't cursing everything he touches.
Well, yes. That's good. Hey, listen, the Raptors, is going to be hard to curse those guys. They have such a swagger on the court.
Boy.
Man, this was one of my favorite descriptions that I read of their series against Orlando.
Yeah.
This is unreal. The Toronto Raptors didn't so much win their first round series over the Orlando Magic Tuesday night as much as they launched themselves through some kind of portal in the NBA space-time continuum, shedding their past and rocketing towards a future as bright as the sun.
Great Scott. Great Scott.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Doc Brown.
They've got some serious swagger heading into this next round of the playoffs. So we are excited to see them take on, who are they playing?
They'll be taking on the Philadelphia 76ers.
There you go. So that'll be good. Now, another thing we're looking forward to is the weekend, not just because we don't have to go to work, but because Avengers Endgame is going to be here. Now, this movie is the follow-up, of course, to Infinity War. Last year, Avengers Infinity War made close to $900 million worldwide in its opening weekend.
Wow.
That's how big this franchise is. So, could Avengers Endgame make $1 billion at the box office this weekend? Many think it's possible. Tom, yourself and Jamar, producer Tom, you guys have a bet that this is not going to happen, you believe?
Wait, it made $900 million the first
time? Exactly, it just needs $100 million more.
No!
Are you out $5, Tom?
I think I might be out $5.
Or pancakes. I just want pancakes.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, so I'll have to see if that happens. We'll find out on Monday. We'll get back to you on Tom's trending bet. And Britney Spears trending. We've been following this story for a while because weeks ago, it was reported that she was receiving treatment in a mental health facility. But then stories began to swirl that she might have been there against her will. Maybe she was placed there by her father, who has this legal conservatorship over her. Mm-hmm. And after that, fans started to become really worried. Is she there against her will? Is she okay? They actually protested. Fans held some sort of a protest yesterday. And so she actually had to come out and make a comment about this whole situation on her Instagram. So she posted this 10-second video yesterday.
Hi, guys. Just checking in with all of you who are concerned about me. All is well. My family has been going through a lot of stress and anxiety lately, so I just needed time to deal. But don't worry, I'll be back very soon.
She sounds really...
spent.
Spent. That's a perfect word. Her voice sounds really, stressed there.
And she looks sad. She looks sad. Marilyn, you put it well. You said it looks like a friend who, you know, when you have that friend who's going through something and they've been crying a lot. That's kind of how she looks in the video. Yeah. So hopefully she's doing okay. Hopefully we get to see Brittany again, maybe back in Vegas sometime
soon. I hope so. I just hope she's well.
Wednesday morning, an E-Talk Entertainment update like none other. I hear we have some good, juicy stuff this morning, Lainey.
So this surprised me because I have watched almost every Whitney Houston documentary. I've read the books. Like, there have been a couple that have come out the last few years. I love Whitney. I'm, you know, like so many people. And so if you know Whitney and know the story, you know that one of the people who has never spoken about Whitney is her former best friend, Robin Crawford. Like, Robin was famously super friends with Whitney. She went everywhere with Whitney. And then she and Bobby didn't get along. And she kind of exited the situation. And she has never talked. And so there have been all these rumors. Were Whitney and Robin lovers?
Whoa.
Oprah straight up asked Whitney's mother this. I don't know if you guys remember in that interview.
Yes. Yeah.
And Whitney's mom didn't, I mean, she came across as homophobic.
Yes.
And she kind of wasn't feeling it, so she didn't want to see it. She didn't want to acknowledge it. But there are many people who were around working with Whitney who say that Robin and Whitney were lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Robin is now coming out with a book. It's due out in the fall. It's called A Song for You, and apparently she's talking for the first time really about their relationship. And this is shocking to me. Like, I thought Robin would take these secrets to the grave.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's actually, I think it's surprising to a lot of people who've been following Whitney's story, because Robin probably is the one who knows the most.
Yes.
Everything.
Now, is this relationship during Bobby Brown, or is it before? During.
Like, so Robin and Whitney were friends before Bobby came into the picture.
Right.
Then Bobby came into the picture. Robin was still around. But people describe it as like a love triangle. Like, the two would compete for Whitney's affection.
Freeze a crowd.
And then, but Robin didn't approve of a lot of the things that Whitney and Bobby were doing together. And it got to a point where Robin thought it was too toxic. I can't be a part of this anymore. And left.
Mm-hmm.
And her departure, a lot of people think, was a destabilizer for Whitney.
Yeah. Wow.
Without Robin in her life, people think that Whitney, you know, was vulnerable. More vulnerable to whatever the forces were that eventually led to what we all know
because
happened.
There were so many hangers on by that point in Whitney's life that whatever they could get for free, they would try to get, right? No one was saying, no, that's not good.
Well, like all very, very famous people, there are a few people around them who can be straight with them.
Yep.
And Robin was one of the few people who could look at Whitney and be like, no, you're messing up, or get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's talking, and as a fan, I am torn because I do want to know Whitney through Robin. Like, I am curious, but at the same time, I'm almost like, oh, then it's just going to bring this whole cycle of ugliness back up again. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't know how people out there are feeling, but I think it's going to be pretty revelatory.
Meanwhile, across the pond, what's going on over there with those boys?
So I know you've talked for the last few days about maybe Meghan and Harry being exiled off to Africa or other countries
after
baby is born, and rumors that William and Harry aren't getting along. Well, yesterday, sources close to Harry spoke out to the media for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave this quote, or this person gave this quote that I found really interesting, and it's kind of a clapback. I'm going to read it to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "Let's be clear about one thing. any decision the couple make about their future will be made by themselves, for themselves. Aside from the Queen and Prince Charles, they're not looking to other family members or their teams for guidance.
Whoa.
Did you pick up on that?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the Queen and Prince Charles, period, the end, no mention of my big brother, who was supposed to be my best friend, not looking to him for guidance.
Wow.
That is the clearest sign that we've had.
Yeah.
So there's some there.
If you are sending your friends out to speak to the media to correct some reports, mm-hmm. to stand up for you, and you allow your source, your leak, to go out there and omit your brother from the people in your life who you respect and looked for to guidance for, that is a shot fired.
Well, they're painting the hierarchy. They're like, mm-hmm. hey, we listen to those people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Harry is doing this because he feels that William has sold him out by allowing his people to go talking to the media about shipping them off to other parts of the world.
Not speaking and supporting his wife.
That's right.
Right. Hey, really quickly before we go to traffic. Baby or no baby? Is it happening right? Is the baby born already?
No.
Okay. I thought it was.
Sorry.
Okay. Lainey, good to see you. E-Talk's on tonight. CTV, 7 o'clock. Always great to have you with us. Don't go away.
Quick question for you, Lainey.
Yes.
Dating deal breaker. Cannot be with a person that blank.
I cannot be. Oh, this is going to be really. I cannot be with a person who drives one of those trucks with like shotgun stickers
rack.
On the car and like testicles hanging from the back.
Testicles in the background.
Oh. Truck nuts.
Yeah, no, what are they called?
Truck nuts.
Truck nuts, yeah.
Thank you, Lainey. Right, cool. Thank you.
That was very insightful.
All right, you got truck nuts. No Lainey in your
helpful.
Future. I'm still amazed, Marilyn, at the strong reaction to the email about the girl who pretty much her deal breaker was her boyfriend right now.
Yes.
Bad speller, bad grammar. She thinks it's a deal breaker. She felt at first like it was shallow. It looks like she's going to probably just move on.
She's going to move on because it's bugging her too much and she really likes the guy, but she goes, I can't get over the spelling mistakes.
But the reaction was so strong. People uh-huh. were like saying, oh, she's shallow. Uh-huh. Tell her go kick rocks. Not apostrophe S rocks. I mean, you know, it's yeah. just really interesting. I think people should just figure out when you're dating, what is your deal breaker? What can't you do? I know there's a couple things I can't do. I can't, cigarette smoke is not really, I probably couldn't do that.
Right. I gotcha.
Also, nosy people. Like, I once dated a girl and we didn't even know each other for very long. Went on a couple dates, maybe hooked up once or twice and like, every other day, it was a question about something she saw on my social media.
Mm.
From things to like that I posted recently to things way down in my social media past. Like,
well before her.
It seemed like she was scrolling through my my feed and just reading up on me. I'm like, this is too much. Don't you have other things to do?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's discover each other. Let's talk. Let's, you know, let's
find. It's about the now, right?
It's about the now.
If you don't have a past, I'd be concerned about you. Yeah. So there you go. That's another deal breaker. I was like, no, I don't like that. I don't like that thought, that feeling. You don't like what, Caitlin?
I've encountered a few people who brag, not just say like, you know, I don't have a favorite book or I don't read that much. They brag about the fact that they don't read. Mm-hmm. I've never read. I don't care. I've never finished a book, so what? Like, brag about it and
well,
get
the way that they talk.
I've really never counted. Yeah. Like, does that person exist? That's crazy.
Yes, and then other people who brag about not voting.
Yeah.
And I just think...
You're proud of that?
You don't be proud of that.
No. What have some texters said to us today? Because I'm telling you, everyone's weighing it. What do you got, Jamal?
Someone says, forgetting my birthday is a deal breaker.
What?
I could understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're potentially going to be one of the most important person, if not the most important person in my life. You should remember the day I was born.
That's a good one.
That's a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that. Nail biting, says a texter from Toronto. Right.
Mm.
Nail biting and beer bellies.
Ah, okay. Uh-oh. Not
dating,
taking care of you.
Deal breaker. Can't
We've got a lot for table manners. Poor manners, chewing with your mouth open, that, you know, and I think that what really happens here is a lot of the time when you begin dating somebody, all those early dates are happening at restaurants and they're happening over meals.
Yeah.
And so if the person has really, really poor table manners, mm-hmm. you notice it right away before you've had a chance to maybe see all their other qualities.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. so you think, no, I'm out.
But I can understand why there's a deal breaker. If some people say that's shallow, check this out. Difference in lifestyle. If you're constantly going out to places where you're sitting at a table with the utensils and, you know, knife and fork,
mm-hmm.
and the other person doesn't live that lifestyle, that's not going to work. At least not going to work very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Another person says, dating deal breaker, someone who doesn't like cats or dogs. Once again, lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've never lived with animals and then you come home and you have to live around the litter box or, you know, walking the dog every day.
Then that might be a tough one.
That might be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think at times we may think these deal breakers are shallow, but they speak to some bigger things like lifestyle.
Yeah, and if you can't get over it, then they're not the right person for you. You know, you have to have some commonalities and differences, but the differences are too big and too wide. Can't do it.
That made me think of the things in common. I need to date somebody who is kind of an adventurous diner, adventurous eater.
Yes, you do.
And because I remember dating people and the only places they wanted to go was just like basic, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs. That was it for them. And I just thought, I am going to be, you know, relegated to a life of not dining out with the person I'm in a relationship with. I'm going to have to go eat alone.
Caitlin is so not Kraft dinner and ramen. Totally not doing it.
But I do love Kraft dinner and ramen. Just not only those things.
Deal breaker, Tom.
No sense of humor. And then I realized that I think it's a deal breaker if they don't think I'm funny. So that's kind of embarrassing.
That's but what really that is all about. You know that.
You've wiped off 80% of the population, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's a deal breaker for me is not getting something done. Talking about going somewhere and then never doing anything about it. Like, let's plan a trip to whatever. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And that's where my husband is a doer. Let's get it. Okay, you want to do that? Let's go do it.
Can't be all talk, no action.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Follow it up.
Text says, deal breaker, Bruins fan. I think we can all agree on that. Yeah.
Hey, get up. Don't hit snooze anymore. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Oh. Wake up. I love this show. Chum 104.5.